what's going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome you guys back to everyone's favorite fantasy football podcast, The Fantasy Fools. I want to start the show off this week and apologize to all the listeners last week about not putting a podcast up. We were very sorry about that. We ran into some scheduling conflicts between me and my co-host Jimmy, and we're back this week. Well, I'm back. Jimmy is actually at work, I think, so he will not be able to make it this week, but I felt like I had to get something up for you guys. So, yeah, we have a good show for you guys today. It won't be too long, but I'm going to go over a good amount of stuff for you guys today. We got the top performers first, injury report. Week 10 primetime will still be happening. I will be doing that solo. QB streamers, my likes and dislikes for the week, and then we will be heading out of here. Once again, follow us on Twitter at @fantasy_fools, and our Facebook group will at Fantasy Fools with Jimmy McCabe and AJ Ferrale. The links will be in the description of the podcast. All right, guys, so we're going to hop into it right away right now. Top performers from Week 10, we had a couple big games, especially with the playoffs coming up. You're going to need these games more than ever from all your guys, so here we go. All right, so we're starting off first. Top performer, Cam Newton, 21 of 35, 254 yards, 4 TDs, adds another 95 yards rushing on the ground, ends up with 35.7 fantasy points, which is a ridiculous game. Welcome back, Cam. Fantasy owners are hoping they can see a lot more of that. Next, we have Mark Ingram, 131 yards, 3 TDs, 31.1 points. And then next, we have a guy who's actually hasn't been doing that great this year, but he had a good week in Week 10. DeMarco Murray, 42, only 72 total yards, but adds 3 TDs, 1 through the air, 2 rushing for 29.2 points. Next, we have my boy, wide receiver 1, Robert Woods, who went off against the Texans. 8 receptions, 171 yards, 2 TDs that included a 94-yard bomb for my boy Jared Goff for 37.1 points. Next, we have wide receiver Adam Thielen, who has just been a breakout star this year for the Minnesota team. 8 receptions, 166 yards, 1 TD, 30.6 points. Jimmy Graham, the Seahawks, nice to see they actually remembered now that they have Jimmy Graham starting to use him in the red zone. Only had 27 yards this week, but added 2 TDs that were both fades right into the end zone, just posted him up, and just Russell Wilson just let him go up and beat the guy. 20.7 points. In the flex spot, we have Austin Eckler, who just came out of nowhere against this Jags defense. He had 42 yards rushing, then he added another 5 catches for 77 yards and 2 TDs through the air. 26.9 points. And for the defensive team, we have the Falcons, who had 2 fumble recoveries, 8 sacks. One of the guys on their team, Claiborne, had 6 sacks by himself. They ended up with 17 fantasy points as they beat, or should I say not beat, they spanked the Cowboys. But we'll get into that later during the primetime segment. So we have a couple injury guys. The big guys have gotten injured this week. We have a couple of them. I'm going to go over them right now. First, we have Devontae Freeman, who unfortunately ended up getting hurt on the second carry of the game against the Cowboys. Got a concussion. That's his second one this year. It doesn't look like he's going to be able to suit up Monday night against Seattle. So if you have Tevin Coleman, fire him up. And I mean, the matchup isn't pretty, but he still should be fine with the amount of carries he's going to get. Next at running back, we have Isaiah Crowell. He's got a hurt shoulder right now. He's questionable for this week. He had a good week last week, so hopefully he can suit up there and get back out there for fantasy owners. Next, we have the wide receiver Dez Bryant. Hurt his knee. He's questionable, but it will play this week against the Eagles, which is a huge game for the Cowboys. But this injury hurts the Cowboys even more than them losing Zeke to suspension. Tyron Smith, the stud left tackle with a groin injury, has been ruled out for Sunday against the Eagles, which is great news if you're an Eagles fan, terrible news if you're a Cowboys fan. Looks like the Eagles should win this one pretty handily, but we'll see what happens. Demaryius Thomas, knee, he's questionable. His status is still up in the air for Sunday, but I'd say he's more likely to play than not. Ty Montgomery hurt his ribs again. We all know he had those broken ribs earlier in the year. He's questionable, but reports are saying as of today that he's likely to not play. So, yeah, if you guys were one of the teams that picked up Jamal Williams this week, hoping that he would be ruled out, you can fire him up. He should be a good safe bet for touches, but I think you're looking for a touchdown to have a good fantasy day. Next, we have Will Fuller, who took a hit last week in the Rams game. He got ruled out. And we had a surprise injury report today, actually, about Leonard Fournette. His ankle still is bothering him from the week 3 or 4 when they played the Rams. He's uncertain for this week. Some people are speculating that he will play, but he'll be very limited. So I don't know if you want to trust throwing him out there. It depends who you have on your roster, I guess. Kenny Stills back, uncertain for this week. Was absent of practice on Friday. So that's good news if you're a Landry or Parker owner, just more targets for them. Matt Forte, knee, he's truly questionable. They don't know what's going on there. Alshon Jeffrey was a late add to the injury report on Thursday. He has a hurt ankle, questionable, but he's likely to play from what we've been hearing. Paul Richardson, groin, questionable, but he's likely to play as well. And Jordan Reed, real shame for this guy. He just can't stay healthy. He had a setback earlier this week. He is out this week again. So you could feel free firing up Vernon Davis this week. And it looks like, I know this isn't a big deal anymore, but Terrell Pryor is going to be out this week as well. So the Redskins are down a couple receivers. So look for Crowder and Doxson to try to, and Vernon Davis, try to carry that load into for this week for the Washington Redskins. All right, guys. So right now, we're going to hop right into the primetime segment for Week 10, and let's get to it. All right, guys, here we go. With the Week 10 primetime segment and a couple good games here. We're going to start it off first with the Seahawks beating the Cardinals on Thursday Night Football 22-16. Russell Wilson, 238 yards, 2 TDs. Doug Baldwin, 95 yards. And Jimmy Ahan Graham, 27 yards and 2 TDs. As the Cardinals throw Drew Stanton out there again. I honestly have no clue what they were thinking. 273 yards, 1 TD. And Larry Old Man Fitz, congrats on the extension. 10 receptions for 113 yards. Next, Green Bay beat Chicago in the division battle, 23-16. Brett Hundley, 212 yards, 1 TD. As Devontae Adams has 5 catches for 90 yards, 1 TD. Only thing notable on the Bears side is Mitch Trubisky throwing for 297 yards and 1 TD. Next game, the Bucs beat the Jets, 15-10. Josh McCown continues his good year, 262 yards, 1 TD, 1 interception. And Robbie Anderson, the Temple Owl, goes for 85 yards and 1 TD. As Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzpatrick goes for 187 yards, 1 TD, 1 interception. Next game, the Vikings beat the Redskins 38-30. Case Keenum, who was awful last year, showing all signs of being a productive quarterback this year. 304 yards, 4 TDs, 2 picks. Adam Thielen, one of the breakout receivers this year. 166 yards, 1 TD. And Stephon Diggs goes for 78 yards and 1 TD. As for the Redskins, Kirk Cousins, 327 yards, 1 TD, 1 interception. But he did add 2 rushing TDs. Jameson Crowder had 78 yards for them. Next, we have the Titans, who beat the Bengals 24-20. Marcus Mariota, 264 yards, 1 TD, 1 interception. As DeMarco Murray had 72 total yards and 3 touchdowns. This is, as for the Bengals, Andy the Red Rocket Dawn, 265 yards, 2 TDs. Joe Mixon finds the end zone for the second straight week, and A.J. Green goes for 115 yards and 1 TD. Next, Los Angeles Rams, first place in the NFC West, beat the Texans 33-7. The boss, Jared Goff, goes for 355 yards, 3 TDs, and 7 TDs in his last 2 weeks. Todd Gurley over 130 yards, again, total 30 yards. And Robert Woods, 171 yards, 2 TDs, and as I mentioned earlier, the 94-yard bomb that broke things open. As for the Texans, Tom Savage wasn't so savage in this one. 221 yards, 1 TD, 2 picks. As DeAndre Hopkins continues the stellar year, shows how bad Brock Osweiler was really last year. 7 catches for 111 yards. Next, the Atlanta Falcons beat the Dallas Cowboys 27-7. Matty Ice goes for 215, 2 TDs, 1 interception. Tevin Coleman fills in nicely for the injured Devontae Freeman. Goes for 83 yards, 1 TD. As Austin Hooper? Who? 49 yards, 1 TD. As for the Cowboys, Dak couldn't really do much. 176 yards, did add a rushing TD. Next, we have San Fran, who gets their first win over the losers, New York Giants. Ben McAdoo's got to get fired. San Fran wins this one, 31-21. C.J. Beathard, 288 yards, 2 TDs, 1 pick. As Marquise Goodwin goes for 83 yards and 1 TD. As for Eli, wait, you mean Elite? 273 yards, 2 TDs. And Sterling Shepard adds 11 catches for 142 yards. Next game, we have the Jags, who beat the Chargers 20-17. Phillip Rivers, 235 yards, 2 TDs, 1 pick. Austin Eckler, 109 yards, 2 TDs. After the Jags, Blake Bortles, not doing so bad, 273 yards, 1 TD, did add 2 picks. As Marquise Lee continues a good year, 55 yards and 1 TD. The next game was an absolute stomping as the New Orleans Saints beat Buffalo 47-10. Drew Brees, no throwing TDs in this one, but did add a rushing TD as the tandem of Ingram and Kamara kill it again. Ingram has 131 yards and 3 TDs as Kamara goes for 106 and 1 TD. As for the Bills, Tyrod Taylor got benched for Nathan Peterman. Who? Who? Yes, he is starting for them this week, folks, as LeSean McCoy has had trouble getting going as of late. Only 8 rushes for 49 yards. Next game, we have the Lions, who beat the Browns 38-24. The Browns cannot get a win. Kaiser, 232 yards, 1 TD, data pick, as Isaiah Crowell goes for 90 yards and 1 TD. As for the Lions, Matt Stafford has a stellar season going. 249 yards, 3 TDs, did add a pick, and Golden Tate just does it every year. 97 yards, 1 TD. Next game, we have the Steelers, who beat the Colts 20-17. This game is a lot closer than people thought it was going to be. Big Ben, 236 yards, 2 TDs, 1 pick. And Juju Smith-Schuster, who is taking over that role from Martavis Bryant, becoming that Steelers number 2 receiver on a 97 yards, 1 TD. As for the Colts, Jacoby Brissett, 222 yards, 2 TDs, 1 interception. Is Carlos Rogers, don't even know who that is to be honest, 104 yards, 1 TD. And as from there, we go to the Sunday night slate. The Patriots versus the Broncos. The Patriots put a Patriot beating down on the Broncos, 41-16. The GOAT, Tom Brady, 266 yards, 3 TDs. My boy, Deion Lewis, 55 rushing yards, 1 TD. Did have a kick return as well. Brock Osweiler, just the game manager. He is what he is, 221 yards, 1 TD, 1 interception. As Manny Sanders comes back looking healthy, 6 receptions, 137 yards. And on to the last game of the weekend, we have the Panthers beating the Dolphins 45-21. Smoke and Jay Cutler had the decent game, 213 yards, 2 TDs, 1 pick. Kenyon Drake, a big waiver pickup last week, 82 yards, 1 TD. As for the Panthers, Cameron Newton, or Scam Newton as some would call him, 254 yards, 4 TDs, at 95 yards rushing. And Devin Funches, or Devin Funchies, shout out to Tim Flank, at 92 yards for 2 TDs. Alright guys, that's going to do it for the primetime segment for Week 10. It's one of my favorite segments. I hope you guys are enjoying it as well. So what we're going to do next is hop into my QB streamers for the week. I have a couple guys here that I'd like to go over who, if you're struggling at quarterback and you don't feel comfortable throwing the guy out, that you can feel comfortable starting this guy this week. So here we go. Alright guys, so the first streamer I like this week, if you're looking for somebody to play, is Eli Manning against Kansas City. Eli has actually not been as bad as most people think. The Chiefs are bottom six against the pass this year. They're allowing 19 points per game to opposing QBs. They're one of the best teams against the run, too. So I would look as the Giants to kind of abandon the run early if they can't get a run game going with Darkwah and Vereen and Gallman. But so another couple stats to throw at you. Eli has multiple TDs in 5 of his last 7, which is a bit shocking to me personally because I didn't know he was even having that decent of a year, should I say. He's not having a good year. The Giants are 1-7, 1-8. So, we got that. And then he's got 200-plus yards in 5 of his last 7. He should be throwing a lot this week. Sterling Shepard is emerging as a good receiver. We'll see how he does this week. And, I like Eli this week as a streamer if you're looking for somebody. Next, we have a guy I vowed to probably never put on here again, Jay Cutler versus Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is bottom 10 against the pass. I mean, it's not the bottom, but it's not good. They're allowing 18.2 points per game to fantasy quarterbacks. Cutler, I couldn't believe this either. Cutler's multiple TDs in 4 straight games. And he's honestly played his best games back-to-back the last 2 weeks. I know Kenny Stills being out is like kind of, he was throwing him a little bit, so it kind of is like, eh. But Parker and Landry should be able to pick up the slack this week for them. As Tampa Bay is going to be missing Hargraves again, which is just huge for them. And it doesn't look like Tampa has stopped anybody other than last week. They did a good job against Josh McCown, but I mean, everyone was waiting for that Josh McCown letdown game. So, we got that. And the last guy, I can't believe I'm putting him on here. If he does bad, I'm just going to beat myself up for it. Blake Bortles against Cleveland. The Browns are tied for the second most pass TDs allowed this season. Bortles is over 250 yards in the last 3 weeks, but he only has 1 TD the last 4 weeks, which is makes me a little nervous, should I say, to start him this week. But if you're looking down this far, you're looking for anybody pretty much. On the bright side, he does have 35-plus attempts in three of the last 4 weeks. And the receiver, Day-Day Westbrook, is coming back this week. I know Allen Hurns is out. Marquise Lee was taken off the injury report, so he's looking good. And I honestly think he should be fine this week against Cleveland. And I know he's not, like, the ideal fantasy starter. Obviously, it's Blake Bortles. But I expect him to have 2 TDs this week if he throws a lot. And to be honest, if you're down this far, you're desperate enough anyway to be starting somebody like this. So you might as well take a shot on him and see what happens. You never know with D.D. Westbrook coming back. So we'll see. So, all right, guys, the last thing we're going to do today before we get out of here is we're going to go over my likes and dislikes for the week. I know I usually do a matchup Fools Gold and Fantasy Sleepers, but I don't think I'm going to be able to get that out for everyone this week. So here we go. We're going to start first with my likes at the running back position. First, we're going to start off with a backfield that everyone knows is unpredictable, but it seems like they're starting to trend this way. Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead are both on my like list against Oakland. The Raiders are the fourth worst team versus RBs this year, allowing 26.1 points per game. Lewis and Burkhead played a total of 57 snaps out of 70 on Sunday, which is just great. Lewis has 11 or more carries in 4 straight and has become the team's number one ball carrier. Now, I say ball carrier because he has not been catching the ball like the Deion Lewis that can catch the ball. Those catches have been going to Rex Burkhead and the Super Bowl, who should have been the Super Bowl MVP in my opinion, James White. He dominated. As for Burkhead, he led the Patriots in snaps last week. He had 37 of the 70. Which is just unbelievable. This guy was a love of fantasy experts coming into the year. Got off to a slow start, got injured, but it looks like he's back to where they want him now. Has 10 touches in back-to-back weeks for the first time all week. And has over 12 points per game the last 2 weeks. They should both have plenty of opportunities to score in this high-powered Patriots offense as long as Tom Brady is standing upright. And I would feel totally comfortable throwing them both out there this week. Even if I have both of them, I would co-start them. Because it looks like Mike Gillisley, the experiment's over, and they're just going to start going with these two and James White on third down. All right, so my dislike, I've been hating on him the last couple weeks that we've done this. I just think he's done Adrian Peterson versus Houston. Houston is the number one fantasy defense against running backs and have only allowed 1 TD this year to running backs rushing, which is just ridiculous considering we're in week 11 already. That only one running back has scored on them. Peterson, look, he's had good games 2 out of the 4 weeks, but with Drew Stanton going down and Blaine Gabbert stepping in, that's not good news for Adrian Peterson owners. That just means more and more people in the box. Two out of the 4 games, he's had under 2.0 yards per carry. And look, the line just isn't that good. The Cardinals aren't that good. And Houston's tough, especially after coming off an ass-kicking by the Rams last week. I expect a good bounce-back week from them, and I don't think Adrian Peterson is going to produce this week for fantasy owners. Okay, so next we're going to my likes for wide receivers. I have Devontae Parker here versus Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is the second-worst team versus wide receivers this year. They are allowing 39.2 points per game, so almost 40 points per game. As I said earlier in the podcast, no Kenny Stills, which is only going to mean more targets for Parker, and I guess Jarvis Landry is going to get helped out from this. But Parker, in games that he's been healthy, he has at least 8 targets, and everyone has over 65 yards in all those games. So it's not even like Devontae Parker has been bad this year. He's only got 1 TD, which is a little annoying for fantasy owners. I have him. It's been a little annoying. But to be honest with you, I mean, the guy's produced since he's been healthy, should I say. He's had over 9.6 points every week he's been healthy this week. I mean, you can't really complain with that. And he's just been making plays. He had a beautiful one-handed catch last week. So I kind of expect him to have a good week this week. I expect over 100 yards and a touchdown this week against Tampa Bay. That's for my wide receivers. And I never thought I'd be putting this guy there, but boy, as he fell flat on his face since the Rodgers injury. Jordy Nelson, he's the 90th overall wide receiver since Hundley took over. I know it's like insane to think, but he's 90th, which is just crazy. Look, as for the Ravens, they're second best in the league against the passing game this year, only allowing 24.4 points per game. They've also allowed the second least touchdowns to wide receivers per game. And as for more on Jordy, look, he just has not scored in a month. He has under 40 yards in 3 straight, And it's just not looking like he's just not looking like Jordy. I mean, a lot of people thought that a lot of the production from Jordy came from Rodgers, which isn't shocking. He's the second best quarterback in the league. But just falling off on his just falling off like this is just ridiculous, in my opinion. Just not being able to get open. He's seeing a good amount of targets still, too. Seems like Humley prefers Devontae Adams a little bit. Devontae Adams has had some bad games, but he has some good games with Humley, which is what I expected to happen with Jordy, but it's just not. I would not recommend starting Jordy this week. I know it's going to be tough to put a guy like Jordy Nelson on your bench, but I think it's time until you think you can trust this guy for the rest of the year. All right, so last but not least, we're going on to my tight end like and dislike of the week. I'm going with Cam Brate. Now, look, I know Cam Brate has not been great lately, but Miami is the bottom five against tight end. They allow 15.3 points per game. Brate only has 7 targets in the last 2 weeks, but I don't think this is a coincidence. In the last 2 or 3 weeks, Tampa Bay has not been able to move the ball at all, and I think this has something to do with not getting Cam Brate the ball. When Cam Brate is involved, he still has 60 or more yards in 5 games this year. So when he's seeing targets, he's seeing good. These last couple weeks with Ryan Fitzpatrick, with Jameis a little banged up with a shoulder injury, they have not been leaning on Cam Brate like I expected them to this year, especially last week I expected them to do good with the Mike Evans suspension. But I fully expect Cam Brate to have a good year this year. I fully expect him to, or should I say this week, I fully expect him to be involved. And yeah, I think Cam Brate is a nice bounce back week against Miami. And that's my dislike. Vernon Davis, look, I know he's been great. And I know Jordan Reed's out, and I know Pryor's out, and I know that all signs are pointing up. But for some reason, I just feel like he's going to have a down week. The Saints have been great against tight end, should I say, allowing under 10 points per game, which is just ridiculous. Their defense hasn't allowed 12 points in a month, which is a pretty absurd number too. And look, Davis, he's just been too good. I just think that eventually he's going to get started by too many people, and he's just not going to produce. And I'm guessing that this week's going to be the week. I don't have any numbers to back up what I'm saying. I just think that the Saints are going to do a good job against him, other than the fact that the Saints have been great. I just think they're going to do a good job against him and shut him down this week. So, yeah, guys, that's the podcast. I appreciate you for listening. I know it's a little short this week, but with being by myself, it's just harder to keep the show going. Jimmy will be back next week. That's for sure. We're going to have a great show for you guys. Hopefully after the Rams win, and hopefully maybe after an Eagles win. Who knows what's going to happen with that. And I actually do have – I meant to take this back earlier in the show. I meant to say it. I just forgot. Tyron Smith has not been ruled out. That is my apologies to you guys. He is questionable for Sunday night against the Eagles. So we will see how that goes. And if he is out, it's going to be a rough night for Dallas. That's what I say about that. So, yeah, guys, once again, follow our Twitter at @fantasy_fools. And follow, join our Facebook group. It will be in the description below. And I also, once again, want to apologize for not getting something up last week. And we will try, we will definitely be more consistent as the season, the season's almost over. But from now on, we will be more consistent. I will say that to you guys. I really appreciate you guys all listening again. And we will see you all next week.